outlook, her entire life. Science at work, searching for knowledge that will shape your world of the future. Dramatic stories of science and industry exploring the unknown.
Today on the Science Magazine, we are fortunate to have one of Hollywood's loveliest actresses, Miss Veronica Lake, to star in a dramatic tale of the March of Science. Listen now to Act One of The Dark Curtain.
I don't suppose at the beginning I was very different from anyone else. I lived with my sister Mary. She was older. She looked after me because our parents had died a long time ago. But we still lived in the house Father had left us, Mary and I. It was home. I don't know exactly when it all began for me. The trouble, I mean. I used to imagine things a lot when I was little. Then I found it was fun to go on imagining things. But I couldn't tell anyone. Then one day I imagined people were staring at me. I was always timid. I came home frightened. I was engaged to be married about then. I had known Paul a long time. Mary was happy about it. Then one day something happened. Mary had been shopping. I was home playing with a kitten. It was a sweet kitten, but it had yellow staring eyes. You're trying to frighten me, Snoopy. But you can't. You're just a tiny little cat. I'm afraid of lots of things, but not of you.
Hello, Ellen.
Goodness, Mary, you gave me a start.
I caught an early bus. What kind of a day did you have?
I didn't go out.
Didn't go out on this lovely day?
You know I don't like shopping.
But, honey, you have a trousseau to get. Dozens of things. I wish you'd come with me.
Mary, I don't think clothes make any difference. Do you realize in a few weeks I'll be leaving this house? For good?
Well, after 23 years, you ought to be glad.
Why should I be glad? This is where I've always lived. I hate strange places and strange people.
Well, that's Paul now.
Paul? But he's not coming now. I mean, Mary, would you...
Would I what?
Would you go down and talk to him for me?
Ellen, after you're married, you'd better learn to be on time.
Please. Please, just this once more. It would be so much easier.
Mary, I'm glad you're here.
Ellen's late again, Paul. I think that child has daydreams.
Well, it's just as well. I want to talk to you.
Well, that's always a pleasure.
Mary, I got this letter this morning. I want you to read it.
All right. Dear Paul, would you mind very much if we postponed our wedding for a little while? It's hard to explain, but... Oh, Paul!
It came right out of the blue, Mary.
I don't understand.
If it was just the letter, I'd think she changed her mind, but it isn't.
What do you mean?
I'm worried, Mary. It's a lot of little things. She seems preoccupied, nervous. Mary, has Ellen been feeling all right lately?
You're talking about me, aren't you?
Ellen, dear.
As if I didn't know. Reading my letters, too. You always talk about me.
Darling.
I know you do. But I don't care. I didn't come down to listen. I came down for my kitten, Snoopy.
Snoopy?
He's lying out in the back stairway.
What do you mean?
He fell from my window.
Fell?
You mustn't touch him. You mustn't.
He's dead, all right. Mary, go in, take Ellen upstairs, give her a sedative.
A sedative?
Do what I tell you at once.
Where are you going?
I'm going for a doctor. That kitten might have broken its neck
or... I didn't do it. Do you hear me? I didn't do it.
A kitten dead. A girl, young, lovely, tormented by mysterious fears. What is disturbing Ellen? What unknown depths can the human mind conceal? Science comes face to face with the unknown.
And now it's curtain time for Act Two of The Dark Curtain with Veronica Lake.
Shortly before Ellen and Paul were to be married, Ellen became strangely moody and reticent. Her only happiness seemed to be in a kitten Paul had given her. While Paul was at the house, Ellen told him her kitten had fallen out the window. Paul discovered her kitten was not killed from a fall, but from strangulation.
Paul keeps looking at me. So does Mary. Just like Snoopy did. Staring. Don't they know I just want to be alone? I won't go out. I won't leave my room.
Doctor, I don't know what's happened.
Paul, I don't think anything's happened. Something is just developing that may have been there a long time.
But Ellen and I were to be married next month.
Paul, I've had several talks with her. You're going to have to make a decision.
What's that?
Forget this wedding for a while.
That's pretty hard to take.
Son, we've got a job on our hands. Your Ellen is a very sick girl.
Can you help her?
I hope so.
What are you going to do?
Talk to her. Try to give her some insight into her condition. We call it psychotherapy.
Psychotherapy, science's first weapon against mental disorders. Question.
Ellen, who is your best friend at school?
I didn't have a best friend. Other girls did. But I knew a princess. I pretended I did.
Ellen, you like to go to parties?
Yes, I love parties. But people don't stare at me.
Ellen, do you like Mary?
Yes. No. Mary doesn't like me.
Ellen, how is Paul today?
Paul? I don't know. I don't know Paul. Mary knows him. Not me, Mary.
Probing, probing, questions day after day to make Ellen realize that her pretending, her fantasy, is really illness. Science tries with questions to lift the dark curtain between Ellen's mind and the world of reality.
Ellen?
No. No, I won't answer any more questions. I know what you're trying to do. It's part of a plot. Mary and Paul and now you. Make me think there's something the matter with me. You hate me. All of you, you hate me.
Have you any news for us, Dr. Ward?
I'm glad you're both here. Sit down.
Is she better?
She isn't better. She's worse.
Oh, no.
I don't know where it started, but Ellen has apparently lived in a world of fantasy for a long time. As a defense against the real world with which she can't cope. It's become such a habit that her mind refuses the real world, so her whole personality is divided.
Doctor, did Ellen really kill the kitten?
Yes, but she doesn't know it now.
Why did she?
It associated itself in her mind with a marriage she didn't want. With you, Paul.
Good Lord. Dr. Ward, I love Ellen. And I know she loved me. But marriage doesn't matter now. All that matters is getting Ellen well. What can we do?
Get inside her mind. Bring it to light. She's blocked every effort so far. We can't talk to her until we remove that block and break down resistance.
How, Dr. Ward?
With electric shock.
Electric shock. Science's new weapon to get inside the human mind. An electric current that literally shocks the body into convulsions and breaks down disordered patterns of the mind. Ellen lies on a bed in a small room. An injection of the drug Curare is given to her. She relaxes. Her arms and legs are limp. This is so the convulsion will not endanger her. And now the leather strap containing the electrodes is fastened to her head.
All ready, Doctor?
Low voltage first. This is her first treatment.
How many is she here for?
It depends. Six or eight at least.
Ninth week.
Current.
10th week.
Ellen, how do you feel?
I'm better, Doctor. I feel happy, not giddy. I don't want to, well, to fly or anything the way I used to. But I do feel happy.
How's your headache?
I don't have any headache.
Well, we're going to let you go home today.
Oh, Doctor, thank you. Thank you. That's all I want. To go home. I was going home. The nightmare was over. The terrible jolts. The long black hours. The doctor and Paul and Mary talked a long time. But I didn't care. Let them say anything. I was going home. Before I knew it, I was home and out walking. The grass was green. It was almost summer. The sun felt so good. Just to walk and to be free. But I wasn't quite free. I wasn't alone.
I thought you'd forgotten I was here. We have to go back soon, Ellen.
It was nice of you to come and see me today, Paul.
Oh, it was nice of you to let me.
That's a new suit, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I like you in tweed.
That's good.
I wish I had something better than this old dress.
You never looked lovelier, Ellen. So young, so pretty.
Am I really?
Mm-hmm. And so you'll remember, I want you to take these roses back with you.
Roses?
Mm-hmm, pink ones. Your favorites. Smell them.
Smell them. You're trying to poison me. You're trying to poison me with those flowers. Take them away.
Failure. For weeks, science had battled the unknown disorders of Ellen's brain. Psychotherapy, electric shock. Now there is only a blank wall. A girl's mind turned completely from the world around her. Turned inward so that even recognition is gone.
Dr. Ward, everything was fine. Ellen was so happy to be home. What happened?
It means only one thing. I was afraid of it, but I took a chance. It didn't work. This is a progressive psychosis of the most deep-seated kind.
Does that mean hopeless?
Mary, science doesn't admit the word hopeless. But nothing has worked. Psychotherapy, electric shock, insulin coma. 5 months now of treatment.
Well, is there anything left?
Just one thing. So risky that it's tried only on the most acute cases. Then the chances are 2-1 against it.
What is it?
It's called lobotomy.
Lobotomy?
I've heard of that.
It's a brain operation. It's actually cutting part of the frontal lobe of the brain away from the rest.
Wouldn't that kill her?
3% of the patients do die, Mary, but 30% are better.
Completely cured?
I said better. It's a delicate and difficult operation. Used only in desperate cases.
Doctor, if it did work...
She'd be much happier, better adjusted person.
And if it isn't done?
She'll get steadily worse.
Doctor...
It isn't an easy decision. I know.
You have to give me time to think. I don't know.
Soon to be married, Ellen showed signs of mental disorder that grew increasingly worse. Psychotherapy and electric shock were used, but the dark curtain that had closed on Ellen's mind could not be lifted. Now the doctor has recommended the most drastic and dangerous method of all, a new brain operation to destroy disordered patterns. Lobotomy. It is the last resort, and Ellen's sister must decide.
How is she today, Mary?
She talks a little, not much. She's afraid I'm going to send her away.
Mary, you've got to make a decision.
I can't, Paul. In operations of this kind, only 1 out of 3 show any improvement. If she doesn't get better, she'll be hopeless the rest of her life.
What is she now?
She's not hopeless. Sometimes she knows me. She talks to me. She's gentle and quiet, and I know she'll be better. They've done everything.
You're talking about me again.
Ellen, what are you doing down here?
Listening. You're plotting, the way you always do when he comes.
Ellen, listen to me.
Plotting to kill me, aren't you?
Ellen, go upstairs.
But you won't, see? You won't because... Oh,
look out.
Ellen!
The knife. Did she hurt you?
Not much.
Let me go. Oh, let me go.
Well, Mary, will you call Dr. Ward?
Yes. Yes, I will. Thank you.
Operating room B, Dr. Ward operating. Assisted by Dr. Nelson, intern Niles. Nurses Wood, Blake, Johnson. Lobotomy.
This is an operation on the human brain. A mass of yellowish, soft tissue. What you do, how you walk, where you go, what you eat, what you say, how you feel, all of it depends on that soft tissue. Nature has encased it in a hard, bony armor, the skull, to protect it. The brain is actually a small, compact switchboard where millions of tiny wires cross and recross to carry messages back and forth. These wires are nerves. But in Ellen's brain, something has gone wrong. There's a short circuit. Ellen's most primitive impulse tells her,
I love Paul.
Now that thought is carried over the nerve wires to the higher centers of the brain, the part of the brain that has developed judgment and reasoning. This is the frontal lobe of the brain right behind the forehead. In a normal condition, this part of the brain would say,
it's right that I marry Paul. We love each other. We want a home. We're going to be happy.
But something is wrong. The thought doesn't travel as it should. Somewhere in the frontal lobe where Ellen reasons and judges, there is a short circuit. The original thought of Ellen's love for Paul becomes distorted.
Paul hates me.
The wires are hopelessly tangled now. Ellen has no judgment now.
Paul wants to kill me.
Somewhere beneath the heavy protective armor of the skull, science must find out what's gone wrong. No X-ray can tell, no medicine, for this is the realm of the invisible. Science believes that an operation can break these disordered circuits of the brain and leave it free to develop new habits of thought and feeling.
We're ready. Please bring the patient in.
Ellen lies in the center of the green operating room, under the bright, clear light. Only her shaven head appears from under the long white covering. The masked surgeons and nurses are waiting. There's an air of tension in the room. For in this operation, man is probing into the human mind. Sanity, even life itself, hangs in the balance.
We use a local anesthetic, Novocaine.
Carefully, the anesthetist injects the Novocaine needle into Ellen's scalp. Once, twice, three times more. A small ring of injections is made.
Ellen, do you know who I am?
You're Dr. Ward. You're going to kill me.
You're going to make you feel better. Do you feel anything?
No, nothing.
Good.
Now the doctor makes two incisions down each side of the scalp.
Forceps.
Now the skin is drawn back. The bone of the skull is laid bare.
Trathine.
Trathine.
Science must cut through the heavy skull bone easily, quickly. To do it, the doctor has a small electric circular saw. With it, he cuts a disc-shaped section of the skull, a bone button the size of a quarter. He works carefully. A shade too far and the saw would grind into brain tissue itself. He must cut just through the bone.
Ellen, do you feel anything?
I don't feel anything, but I can hear you.
The skull is open. Carefully, the doctor lifts the bone button. Now he must work with precision and delicacy that is almost unbelievable.
Cautery.
Cautery.
With the cautery, a fine electrical knife, the doctor seals the surface blood vessels. There are no markings in this unknown world, no X-ray to guide him, no disease or growth to look for. Nothing but the blank, yellowish tissue with its hundreds of twists and convolutions. Like a dancer, delicately poised, the doctor's skilled fingers push the knife gently, carefully. On one side of his knife's track lies the motor areas of the brain, which, if touched, would paralyze forever the patient on the table.
Ellen, do you feel anything now?
I'm sleepy. What are you doing?
Taking your headache away.
The knife moves in slowly, slowly. Its blunt edge pushing aside the vital blood vessels, which, if punctured, would result in a fatal brain hemorrhage.
Ellen, do you feel pain?
No. No pain. Only as if something untied. It feels better. Much better.
But she has fallen asleep. Dr. Ward withdraws his knife slowly. One half of his task is done.
Now he repeats the same operation on the other half of the brain. Carefully, he replaces the bone buttons. The incisions in the scalp are sewed. Science has dared to probe a living brain, to cure an unbalanced mind.
Recovery is long and slow. Ellen, because of her naturally bright mind and good constitution, is one of the lucky few in a favorable position to benefit from the operation. How much? Only time will tell. She'll be childlike again.
I'm going to call this doll Isabel.
Her memory will not respond at first.
Where did the spoons go? I can never remember.
She'll not have the ability to make decisions.
What dress shall I wear today?
But her fears will gradually disappear.
A tea party? I'd love to go and see everybody.
You must remember that although Ellen takes a place in normal home life, she has changed. You'll have to treat Ellen as if she's learning many things for the first time in her life.
Well, you girls ready to go out to dinner?
Yes, Mary will be right down.
Now, you look awfully pretty, Ellen.
Thank you. Paul, I want to say something now before Mary comes. I'm glad you're coming to see Mary and me. But it's all different now. I can't explain it. I was afraid before. Afraid of everything. Now I'm not. I'm happy. It's like being in the light again. I just want to live here at home. Do you understand, Paul?
Yes. Yes, I think I do, Ellen.
That was all a long time ago. It seems strange now to think I was ever going to marry Paul, or that I was afraid of people. It's an old nightmare that I've almost forgotten. Paul's coming to dinner tonight. I know because Mary's singing. I'm cooking dinner. I have so many things to learn, but there's lots of time to learn them. When you're not afraid anymore.
What is ahead for Ellen? At least a return to normal living, perhaps eventually a job, a productive place in society, and within herself, happiness and freedom from tension. By means of psychosurgery, science's newest weapon against mental disorder, a girl has been saved from the darkness of hopeless insanity as science explores the unknown.
Our thanks to lovely Veronica Lake for a fine performance.